H.O.
What up?
We must be back with a new season, man.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
1100 a.m.
That right.
We got Tiff, Hand in the building, H.O. and Coach.
What up?
You now about to witness the strength of sports talk radio.
Lego.
I can read your mind. You know it's that time.
Hold up.
Boy, I'm so fly. I feel like Brent Grimes. About to kill a whole season, man. SRT got picks for days. Ain't no telling when I'm all in. Never stall in. Pass the ball in the LBJ. That's the King, fam.
Woo.
Been ballin' since Space Jam. New logo like the L.A. Rams. SRT next up. Big dog picks Devin Hester. And that's the word on the street. Tiff got me right like we run in the screen. Real talk, canine. Know what I mean. We causing the scene. SRT got what you want every week.
I ain't gonna say it.
What up? It's the Sports Roundtable live from the SRT studios overlooking Atlantic Station and the SRT crew. Sports Roundtable, thanks for tuning in for another epic show. This is the show where sports and entertainment meets. And thanks for tuning in each and every Wednesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Want to shout out to all our folks that's listening on AM 1100 The Dial. And if you're listening to us online or trying to listen to us, please go to srtradio.com and you can find us there. Just click listen live and you will hear us live on air. Last week, great show. This week will be epic. We got DeSante coming in for the second hour of the show to talk the NBA draft, which starts tomorrow, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll see where your favorite college basketball player will be drafted. If this is your first time listening to the show, shame on you. But we do appreciate it, especially if you live in Tokyo.
Shout out Tokyo.
If you want
to...
If you want to give us a call, please do so by calling 404-603-8770. And once again, if it's your first time listening, let me introduce ourselves. I am your humble host from
Westside, Bankhead. It won't fall.
And that's H.O. from Bankhead, of course. And I got my main man back in studio as he had some parental duties he had to take care of last week. All the way from Memphis, Tennessee, where they say the barbecue is better than the barbecue in St. Louis. It's up for debate.
Ain't no debate.
My main man, he's back. The sports superhero, Hancock.
What's up, big homie?
What it is?
What's up, crew?
What happening?
What's good?
What's good, baby?
Well, y'all sounded good last week.
I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. I was envious. Cool. Boy, I hated I couldn't be here, boy, to talk about that championship series. But, I was here in spirit.
There you go. And we love it. We love it. Everything good with you? Everything taken care of?
Well, I might have to get D-Will to come on down there. We're going to have to work some things out.
That's intervention style.
Ain't nothing about the kid. He cool, but
yeah.
You got to show me where he need to be hanging out, where not to be hanging out.
I'm definitely tell you that.
Tea time, baby. And, of course, I got my main man who's always high in spirit. The passion is always going. And the reason why, because he got 4 rings out of 8 years, my main man, D. Will, the coach.
What's happening there? What up, crew?
What up?
What up,
ATL?
Yeah, we him, baby.
Yeah, man.
Ready to get it started?
Man, what you talking about? I got something to talk about.
You got something to talk about?
A little bit.
And, of course, the man behind the glass who's always dropping the engineer producer of this show, the man behind the glass, and we call him G Money.
Am I my brother's keeper?
Yes, I am.
What up, G?
Yo.
There you go. And for all the new listeners and the loyal listeners, we got 2 new segments coming next week. So please stay tuned for that. And I'm pretty sure you will enjoy it as we continue to make this thing rise and go. Tonight we got hot news and we got the fun bag questions. Stay tuned. 7:30, the fun bag will be hot, so make sure you're tuning in to that. And we will have some roundtable discussion. We will have to talk about this free agency. And the second half of the show, we got my main man from 92.9, Deshaun Tate, will be in the building at Tate Take Sports. He will be in the building the second half of the show. With that being said, G, let's go ahead and get this party started with this hot news.
Blazing. Hot, hot, hot. Scorching.
He's on fire.
Red hot.
This is why I'm hot.
It's the Sports Roundtable Hot News.
Hot news sponsored by the Big Easy Grill. If you're looking for the best new oil and seafood in town, go on over to our friends, our favorite friends over there, 1193 Collier Road, Atlanta, Georgia, the best shrimp in town, and it is verified. Please go to BigEasyGrill.com for the menu. Shout out to all of my Facebook followers. I see my aunt is from Griffin, Georgia, is on here watching us. We everywhere. And Rio, I got the information for you. But the hot news is going to be hot. The hottest news of all, and it's 1 and 1A, but we'll go ahead and talk about what happened first. The Sixers, Celtics make a trade. The Celtics drop back to the number 3 pick, right, as the Sixers get another number 1 pick. And also, the Celtics picks up a number 1 pick for next year. All right, Han, you've been on this train ride with the 76ers. What do you like about the trade, either team?
Well, I think you have to keep trying to add as much talent as you can. I think you have to be careful about having too much young talent. But with folks, what I think and what I see is Brett Brown is trying to go with Simmons as more of a lead guard type or forward that handles, so that point forward situation. But I think folks is kind of like that, okay, if this doesn't work out, we can go traditional with a point guard.
Right.
So I think that in itself kind of alleviates or he has a little insurance policy with that. But as far as the Celtics trading back, I mean, you traded back and done all these things, man, and we look at age and all these picks he's acquired.
9 picks in the next 2 years.
But he's had
first round picks.
He's had over 30. He's had 38 draft picks, right? Tell me how many of them have made the All-Star team. Mm. 38 picks since 98. Mm. How many have made the All-Star team? Mm. Anybody?
Since 98?
Since 98.
One.
Zero.
I knew it.
God dog it.
Wow.
So, okay, you getting all these picks. Something's wrong.
Oh, yeah. He didn't draft Rondo. Phoenix.
No.
Him. No.
I'm just saying. Since 98.
Well, they got Brad Stevens now.
I'm just saying.
Just saying.
If you're picking all these groceries.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying he did get results this year by making it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay.
Ideas on you. What you like about it?
I like folks in Philly, and I'm gonna tell you what it means. And I'm just really piggybacking. It means the Ben Simmons experience at point guard has just now started. We're about to see Ben Simmons as the point guard, and like you say, Fultz is there because he's more of a scoring guard than a point guard. So he's good at the two. Now what you got a Ben Simmons playing the one, you can do cross matchups on defense, so it doesn't hurt you with playing him as your scoring guard. But it also alleviates the pressure off Ben Simmons of having to be the main man to bring the ball up and to score from the top of the key. All right, he not only has to facilitate, because you can't play Magic Johnson basketball in today's game. Your lead guard who has the ball in his hand has to score.
I like you say that, and you foreshadowing something that I really hope we get into later on.
I hope we get into it later on.
Because I like what you said right there about that Magic Johnson versus whatever today's game is.
Exactly.
Because you said something that maybe about a year or two ago about that, when we were talking about as far as a point guard. And I think you were a little bit ahead. Well, you were on it. I give you that. By saying point guards in this situation in today's game got to score.
Must.
And it's being shown that's why Chris Paul or whatever is not winning in certain situations.
And that's why you don't see more Chris Pauls coming into the
exactly.
league.
So I like that.
All right, G, with this being done, does the Sixers actually make the playoffs this year?
No, you're asking a lot right now.
In the East?
You still asking
a lot. You're asking a lot still right now.
Because, you know, we don't know with Joel Embiid, with his injuries, Ben Simmons hasn't played a game yet. I mean, it all looks good on paper. They have a good young nucleus on paper. But we'll just have to see if they can stay healthy. What's interesting is that they made the trade because Philadelphia wanted Markelle Fultz more than Boston would have considered him.
Right.
And they like Josh Jackson and Jason Tatum. So they're probably going to draft one of them at number 3.
This is going to probably be Tatum because Jackson, they already feuding about something.
Well, they didn't.
I think
work
it's a medical
out.
Report, and they didn't work him out either.
Yeah. Right.
He wouldn't. Yeah. He didn't go work out for him. So yeah. That's kind of what I'm hearing.
And he said allegedly that if you can't guarantee me, you go take me, I'm not going to work out. Right. So,
but they said it might be something more to that.
Yeah, I agree. But this is my thing, and I'm going to make this quick so we can move on to the next thing. Markelle Fultz is from Upper Marlboro, Maryland. He goes all the way across the United States. He done skipped Maryland, Syracuse, Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky.
And everything in between.
You get my point?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's about to be the number one pick. No one saw him at Washington other than the West Coast folks. And I told Han, I think I told you about this, but this has Wild Wild West written all over. How do you go clean across town? All the way on the other side. And now you're about to be the number one pick. Mm. Question number 2. One of the hottest topics locally. Dwight Howard gets traded to the Charlotte Hornets. The Hawks send Howard and the 31st pick, which is their first pick in the second round, to Charlotte for Miles Plumlee, Marco Bellinelli, and for the first pick in the second round. Han, is this? Did you get your wish? Are you getting your wish? Hey,
basketball today is not a traditional back to the basket, big man type game. You got to have a guy that can space the floor. He does. He can run the floor and he can rebound, but he doesn't space the floor. And you can't use him late because he can't make free throws. So he's becoming that dinosaur, to be honest with you. Now, when you look at what the Hawks situation is, you finally got some guy in here that I told you I like what he's doing. You're cleaning house. And you got a clean house. You cannot continually be good enough to make the playoffs and not bad enough to get good players. It can't be both. You got to be one or the other. Unless you're making big free agent moves like what LeBron goes and does and bring and build a team, do something like that. But I like that he got Dwight out of here. I'm sorry, he just doesn't work here.
Right.
Budenholzer didn't want him anyway. We know that from behind the scenes, what we've heard. You have to get more athletes on this team that are able to do more than one thing. They got to be able to defend and they got to be able to shoot to compete in the NBA. Mm-hmm. You have some players on there that can play on the perimeter, but they don't shoot it well enough,
right.
i.e. Bazemore, people like that, Cephalosha.
Right.
So you can see this is a rebuild. I mean, and from what I hear, Millsap is being shopped. They're trying to do a sign and trade. So I like the direction they're going. You got to go ahead and be bad. Like I can tell you, well, as I tweeted last night, they had 4 people on the All-Star team two or three years ago. And went to the conference final. And out of all those people that are gone now, you got nothing really in return. So that's been my whole issue the whole time that we've gone back and forth. You got to get them out of here before their value is down, and they let them all walk for nothing. So I like the direction they're going, cleaning house. Best
D, what you got on the reset button?
We've been saying it on this show for years. It's either get real bad or be mediocre. And you've always been the one that you can't do that because you're going to lose all the fans. And if you lose your fan base for 3 years, okay. But can you get better in those 3 years? That's what the key is. You can't tank in Atlanta and be bad for 6-7 years. You see what I'm saying? You can't do that. So
last time it was 8.
My point exactly. and look how long it took them to get that fan base back. Right. You know, so I like the moves. I think they need to clean house and just let the chips fall where they may. And I mean chips as in money. Let it fall where it may and hit the reset button and redo it. You got to. But on Dwight Howard, I'm not sure if y'all heard, but yesterday on 92.9 The Game, he was on with Rick and John, midday show, and he was explaining how he wanted to expand his game out to the three-point line because he understands his value is being played out of the NBA. Right. He gets it. So he said himself, he's like, I want to have longevity in this league, so I understand in my position, I got to stretch the floor. That's what big men do. So I have been trying to expand my game to that. The Hawks heard that and was like, oh, hell no. Somebody come get this ninja. Somebody come. Who want him? Who want him? Because have you ever seen Dwight Howard shoot a 15-foot jump shot?
I did once.
You did where? All-Star game?
He didn't make it.
It had to be All-Star game.
That was a three-pointer in the All-Star game.
And we saw how that looked.
But I saw it when he was in Orlando. It was like his last season. I saw him like come off a screen.
Oh, hell no.
And he shot an elbow jumper. He made it, but it was the only jumper he shot the whole
game. I need to see the tape. I want to see the tape.
Him shooting threes is like me going and dunking right about now.
Yeah, man.
I'm gravity challenged, and he is jump shot challenged.
Very much so. It ain't going to happen.
It ain't going to happen. Gonna fall out of bed and say, I'm going to become a jump shooter.
Not at this stage in his career.
He can't shoot.
Here's the thing, we're seeing like Brook Lopez. I know you're going to bring it up in a second, but he's expanded his game out to the 3-point line, and we even question that. We know he has a mid range jumper, but okay, now it's going to be a 3-pointer. We can't expect that with Dwight to just all of a sudden.
Let me tell you what. A key in what you just said is we knew he had a mid range jumper, so he had something to expand on. Dwight don't have nothing to expand on.
You got to have some sort of touch.
What is he going to shoot? The left-hand hook?
He got no touch.
He going to shoot that left-hand hook he shoot? Come on, man.
Wow.
But listen, Dwight's value in the NBA and players like him is like, all right, I'm going to tell you what he is. They're the new running backs of the NBA.
Yeah.
They're weeding themselves out.
Yeah, he has to get with a team that has a whole lot of shooting around him.
Exactly. They got to relive Orlando.
He has to be Tristan Thompson.
Whoa. I don't know if he can do that right.
I'm sorry. That's what he got to go to me. Serious. He got to defend and rebound and get the putbacks.
Okay, okay. Now you're implying that Tristan Thompson defends, though.
He
tries.
He can't defend. He has a lot of energy on the perimeter.
But
what I'm saying is in the post, banging, going to get that second
changing
shot.
Changing shots? Yeah. Blocking shots?
He does that round the rim. Now, if you get him out there where he got to defend that pick and roll, it's a problem.
Both of them are hard boys defending the pick and roll.
That's just, you got to live and die with that.
So he should have been making $80 million instead of whatever he got.
I can't fault his money. Get his money.
All right, speaking of Brooklyn.
But I like Dwight and Charlotte. Let's not get that wrong. Okay. Dwight, they were trying to rock with Cody Zeller and Frank Kaminsky at center, and that wasn't going to work. Yeah. But like you say, they got a Kemba Walker. They got stretch people because Zella can stretch it a little bit. Kaminsky can really stretch it. So you got shooters around him. So with Kemba, and they got a lead guard, an alpha dog on the team. So it make it work.
Batum.
Exactly. And Batum can shoot it. And then you got Michael Jordan up there.
He just got to know what his role is. And quick story. I was listening today listening to L.A. State, and they were talking about when Dwight was in L.A., playing under D'Antoni, and D'Antoni was trying to tell him, you playing with Steve Nash, and what I want you to do in this offense, come up, set a high screen around the key, and then drop to the basket. Steve's going to hit you or create off of it. Dwight said, no, I'm not coming out of the paint. So he wouldn't listen. So you see what I'm saying? It's a thing where you have to decide you're going to be coached.
And he would have been more valuable today if that would have been.
If he would have went ahead and incorporated that into his game.
A good thing for this is that Steve Clifford coached him in Orlando and with the Lakers. So he's familiar with them. So it may work out like he said.
That's good. All right. Speaking of L.A., I guess y'all two are beaming with excitement. The Lakers make a move, trading D'Angelo Russell.
AAU play.
Mm-hmm. And glorified though. You gotta get glorified. Glorified.
And who else did they trade? Moscow.
Yeah, Timothy.
The contract was the thing with Moscow. Yeah, for they had them to get that off the books. Huge. See, this move really is for next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because his money is gone. LeBron. And even Brooke Lopez's money, he's on a year contract.
Yeah, yeah.
So whatever he has comes off the book. Mm-hmm. So now they can go out and get two max players next year.
Oh, that's 20 million. Yeah, that's like 40 million.
Yeah, see, they can get two max players next year.
And if they get rid of Dean contract.
That one's going to be hard to get rid of unless they package it like they did with one of these other AAU players they have.
Yeah.
But right now, they're sitting pretty. But, you know, this year they're still trying to make that move to get PG.
Right. So, D-Will, I'm pretty sure Hancock calls them AAU players. Is it win now, or do you think the Lakers would be – how long do you think the Lakers would be back, will it take?
They're headed in the right direction, and it really hinges on do they get Paul George. We know he says he wants to go there. We know it's all but likely he goes there. I'm saying they're not ready to compete. But my thing is, what do they take to get back to conversation piece where they make the playoffs, where they can push a team maybe in the second round? And that hinges on if they get Paul George. Because I think if they get Paul George, currently constructed, I think they're a playoff team.
Really?
I do because if look
Portland
at the bottom
could,
of the
if
West.
If Portland could get in, you're right. It's a possibility.
Thank you.
If Portland got in, you're right.
Because I believe in L.A., Paul George will become the player you said he was before the injury. Mm-hmm. And I think he will accelerate to that. And Lonzo Ball is a distributor. Can he come in and be the distributor and the player we think he is? Because with that combination – and I'm going to tell you this, these setups are, they're going to make a real push at LeBron in 18.
That's what I'm hearing, man.
They're going to make a real push for LeBron. So all this hinges off LeBron in 18.
Z?
I do think like it's part of, they want to get George. I think they traded D'Angelo banking on George to just sign as a free agent. We don't have to really give up anything we don't want to. That's a big risk because if someone swoops in and they're going to do the rental thing like Cleveland has been rumored to do or Boston might try to do and they have a successful season enough, he may stay with that team because right. they'll have his bird rights. So the Lakers, it depends on what the next move is. Are they banking on Paul George signing as a free agent or are they going to package something to get him now, which will probably be best if they try to do it before the draft tomorrow.
See, I think Brooke Lopez is a piece that they really kind of fell into. We're talking about at least one of the top two or three bigs.
He was in the conversation with the trade for Dwight Howard right. in the beginning.
So we're talking about a guy that actually had one less three-pointer than D'Angelo Russell last year.
Mm.
Isn't that something?
Wow.
Mm.
That's big, right? Mm. So now you got a guy that can stretch. They're high on Zubik, the other young kid that's more in that European big style that Denver had, the guys that we saw that kind of lived up to their potential this year. So there's some makings there with the Lakers. You know, you got to get some ancillary pieces, but I think with the Lopez signing, if George comes in, I agree with you. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if George gets them to a point where they're really there yet. They're going to need another.
Like I say, I think they can compete for that 6-7-8 seed in the West if they get – because – you just named him out. If you look at the way that team is constructed, if Paul George can come in and be a superstar and be a 29, 30-point per game player, with the pieces they got, you got Julius Randle, who is a hybrid. You got
– I think he's moved for the season.
I agree with that also. I believe he's out of there too. But just currently constructed, you got a microwave.
Nance.
And you got Nance, but you got a microwave and Jordan Clarkson coming off the bench who can carry the scoring when you rest Paul George. So they got the pieces to
compete.
And that's all you really want to do with the Lakers because at some point in the next 3 to 5, they will be back.
Well, let me ask you, how do you feel, being a Laker fan like I am, how do you feel about LeBron if he did come there? How would you feel about it?
I would feel awesome. I would be standing up on a chair dancing.
I'm trying to feel that way.
But listen, why?
I don't know why. I guess it's just still a little hate in me.
You still don't like? Yeah, it's still the competition in you. But you get LeBron, you let the competition go.
Exactly. Well, let's move on because we're going to talk about that just a little bit later.
Yeah, we get deep.
Real quick, the Cavs and Griffin part ways. Billups is being met. Well, this had a second interview today with the Cavaliers. Hancock, how do you feel about that?
Well, you know, Billups was mentioned even to be the GM here for a while. So, I mean, Griffin, let's look at it. Look at his draft picks, man. I mean, he really hadn't done anything. LeBron, before LeBron came back, they were a horrible team.
Right.
I think they were like 30-something and 50 or something like that. So, I mean, we look at what he's done. I mean, it could be a lot of GMs that their names could go up the ladder as being one of the best when you got LeBron James on your team. We've seen him go to Miami and get titles. He came back to Cleveland, got a title. Mm-hmm. While he was in Cleveland, they were 60-win team. Mm-hmm. So how really good was he doing as a GM? You see what I'm saying? He was in on it when they got Blatt there, the coach. Mm-hmm. Blatt didn't make it over but a year and a half. He was gone.
Half a year.
Yeah. So, I mean, then you look at, you know, Lou kind of fell into the situation. We really don't even know how good he is. Yeah. LeBron is one of those that he covers a lot of
overshadows
a lot of ills, you know, and a lot of things that we don't really know about. You know, he took your boy took Tyus Jones. Out of Duke, what's his name? Tyus.
Yeah, that's Jim.
Cleveland took him and then traded him to Minnesota. Yeah, yeah. Then a couple other guys, man, that we don't even, you know, have anything.
They took Shabazz Muhammad from Connecticut.
So all these guys, didn't they even take the biggest bust in the draft?
Yes.
Anthony Bennett. So, I mean,
he got cut in China.
So, I mean, let's look at Griffin and kind of say, let's just take it with a grain of salt. We really don't know how good a GM is.
Well, you know, he was accredited for the Kevin Love trade. That was his claim.
LeBron told him to go get it.
Exactly. So it was easy. But that was what he was accredited to. And now Kevin Love is on the chopping block. So it has to be some friction at that is the reason he's out of there.
You can't have LeBron, Griffin, and Gilbert trying to make decisions.
Gilbert shouldn't be making no decisions at all. Anyway, he's the owner.
If that was Joe, you was buying the groceries, you wouldn't have no say?
Well, I'm saying I would have a say, but if you got a say and you're not a basketball guy, you really ruining stuff.
I feel what you're saying.
This situation has shown that Dan Gilbert is, and I'll clean this up, he is bat guano crazy. He's had the team for like 12 years. He's had four GMs. He's never given any of them an extension.
Wow.
And the reason what makes this crazy is 2 days before the draft, and Griffin is still coming to the facility trying to make a move for Jimmy Butler or Paul George, and he left some plans behind, so like maybe whoever the new guy is can pick up where he left off. I wouldn't have done that personally if I were him, but you could see if you read the different stories that Gilbert wasn't going to bring him back.
Right.
But why like wait this long? And Gilbert wants to, you know, he's bringing in his own guy. Billups, he's a big Chauncey Billups guy.
Right.
Met him in Detroit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think he's probably going to end up treating him as the same he did those other guys.
Yeah.
But
I think Cleveland is hitting the reset button as well. But we're going to talk about that when we come back. That's going to end the hot news. We're going to talk about some Millsap news in our roundtable discussion as well. But we got to take a commercial break. When we come back, we got the SRT Fun Bag. So y'all get ready for that SRT Fun Bag coming up along with the Sports Roundtable discussion where we're going to dive a little deeper into what's actually going on in the NBA. So we'll be right back. You listen to Sports Roundtable and SRTRadio.com.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network.
Right now through July 9th, get $60 by mail on a Firestone Visa prepaid card when you buy a set of four eligible Firestone tires. Increase your reward to $100 when you make a qualifying tire purchase with your new or existing CFNA credit card account. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Claim form required. Only certain tire lines are eligible and must be purchased from a participating Bridgestone retailer's inventory May 4th through July 9th. Prepaid card is issued by the Bancorp Bank pursuant to a license from Visa USA Inc. and may be used everywhere Visa debit cards are accepted. The Bancorp Bank member FDIC expiration applies. The Bancorp Bank is not affiliated with CFNA credit card offer. CFNA offer subject to credit approval.
It may not be the holiday season, but there's always plenty of holidays to talk about. Did you know Take Your Dog to Work Day is Friday, June 23rd? Easy there, Sparky. Started in 1999 by Pet Sitters International, an estimated 300 businesses participate every year. Just go to the Groupon app or Groupon.com to see bargains for grooming, training, and all your pet needs. ABC's Happening Holiday, sponsored by Groupon. Down, boy, down. Download the Groupon app and save up to $100 a week on what you do every day.
Sports Roundtable.
What would you do if you had a twin? What prank would you do if you had a twin?
Oh, it'd be cool if vacation time. If I, you know, you need a couple days. Hey, look, bro, give me the day. Give me this weekend. Whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
That would be cool. The wives would probably be in trouble. I wouldn't do it to wives, but the girlfriends would be in trouble.
On the Worldwide Radio Network 1100 AM.
SRT Fun Bag, go, man, go.
No, no. Think, since you're thinking, now go on, think.
No,
is
no.
It fun?
No, sir.
No.
No, sir.
Absolutely not?
Zero fun, sir.
Oh, funny.
What in the world is in that bag? What you got in that bag?
Are we having fun yet?
SRT Fun Bag, sponsored by Design Queen. If you're looking for a website, if you have a business and need a website, please contact Design Queen. Go to designqueen.com. She is the best in the business. If you want to take a few looks at websites, go to her website, designqueen.com. Check out her work. But you can also go to srtradio.com and check that out and see what you think. SRT Fun Bag, once again, we're here picking your pleasure. This is Pick Your Pleasure Week. And let me do the disclaimer. One question per question. Simple as that. One question per question. All right, Facebook Live and everybody listening, I hope y'all ready. All right, first question, I think this was meant for us. This question was meant for us anyway, I think. All right, pick your pleasure. Would you rather be a co-host, guest analyst for 1 month on a Fox sports show of your choice for 1 month every day? Or would you rather be a sports reporter for your favorite team for 4 months? Pick your place. All right, Hancock. Well, D, where you want to go?
I don't mind. Say that first part of the question again. That was long as hell.
1 month. Guest analyst on any Fox TV show.
Oh, I don't want to do that. Give me the second one. I want to be a sports reporter.
Of your favorite team.
Yes. Give me that. I can go into the Alabama locker room every day?
Yeah,
I'll take that. For 4 months?
For 4 months.
Yeah, I'll get that. All day. Easy. Easy. I ain't finna do nothing on Fox. Fox? If I go on Fox, they're going to keep. I wouldn't make it 30 seconds. 30 seconds, because I'm going to be cussing. I be cussing whoever I'm in front of. Get him here. Come on, man.
All right, Han, what you got?
Yeah, I go with the latter, the 4 month thing with my favorite team.
Cowboys, Florida State.
I probably hate with Jerry. Yeah, I'm going to Cowboys.
Going to Cowboys. Yeah.
Jerry ain't a bad choice.
Yeah, I'm hanging with Jerry.
Jerry. You know, you going party with Jerry.
Bus?
Party bus.
Yeah, you know he got that party bus.
All right, G, what you think?
He going on Fox.
No. My head would explode after 30 seconds. I wouldn't be cussing everybody. Like, so I would take the sports reporter job, and I would probably want to go on the party bus with Jerry too.
Not a bad thing. I might want to change my mind.
So everybody jumping on the party bus.
Party bus, baby.
Well, unfortunately, I'm the lone wolf on this. Listen, man, my barber cuts my hair too good for me not to be on TV every day. For 1 month, they gonna know who I am after 1 month. Mm. I promise you that.
If I'm hanging with
ESPN laying everybody out, so I mean.
Hey, but if I'm hanging with Jerry, I'm gonna have a mugshot.
Oh, so yeah. You don't have one of them. See, when you said Fox, I'm thinking Fox News.
No, Fox. No, sports analyst. I mean, ain't, no, I'm talking about.
Yeah, he talking about like
FS1
with Jimmy Johnson and all them.
You can do the Sunday morning.
Nah, I'm on TV. Yeah, pal. Exactly. Well, I misunderstood the question. See, I'm thinking Hannity and Combs
No. You on there with Colin Cowherd, Jason Whitlock.
Yeah, let me do that for a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me do that for a month, pimp. Yeah. Man, y'all see how good I look? Man, stop. Hey, I don't have a face for radio. You know what I'm talking about. What, man? I'm on. Put me on Fox. Come here, Skip. What? Hey, real quick. Hey, I got to give a birthday shout out in the SRT fun bag to my nephew, Joshua Greedy. Lil Greedy. He turned 14 on yesterday.
There you go.
All right. Happy birthday, happy young birthday, Greedy.
Yep. All right. Question number two. Pick your pleasure. Would you take a 4 month off work, only going to give a $500 advance? Taking off work for 4 months.
And only get $500?
Only get $500. But you're job security, so you can come back. All right, so you can golf, you can do whatever you want to do. But you only got $500.
And what's my alternative option?
That's what I'm waiting on.
The alternative is all expense paid trip to Washington, D.C., a 5-hour personal 1-on-1 with your main man, Donald Trump.
Oh, hell no. Give me the $500 and how long I get off work?
4 months.
Oh, give me 4 months and 500. I'm going to be broke in 30 minutes, but I don't care. Do I get paid during this 4 months? No check? Just the 500?
Just the 500.
Oh, yeah. I ain't going to talk no Donald Trump.
Well, we'll do 2,000.
Yeah, let's do it. Give me $2,000.
I give you $2,000.
So give me a month. That's about a month worth pay because I'm broke, y'all.
So you don't get anything to talk to the orange guy? You just go and talk to him?
Yeah.
5 hours.
Tell him your concerns, your beef.
Hell no.
What that mean?
Thank you.
I'm just giving you.
Man, Donald Trump don't care about people. maybe had the $500.
Well, we moved it to 2,000, so.
Yeah, whatever.
I take $500. Man, I take $25 in 4 months off work before I go talk to pimp. Just keeping it real.
Yeah, that's a waste of time talking to him,
partner. All right,
G. What am I going to talk to him for? Like,
I mean, you going to talk to the president. Mm.
To yeah, the who? But that president.
Yeah, yeah. I can go talk to a lot of presidents. It's a lot of people with the title of president.
Right.
I'd rather go talk to than shout it.
All right. Question number three. You get $500 a month, free money to do absolutely nothing. So my eyebrows raising. Like, yeah, okay. Or you get a gift card for $500 a month for a year to your favorite clothing store.
Give me cash, man.
You the cash?
Yeah, let me have the cash.
For 6 months?
Yeah.
D?
Oh, I get. How much is the gift card?
I don't know, man. Hold on.
$500 for 1 year.
Let me.
No, so I gotta get some clarification.
I renege because I could sell. Some
listen, you going too far? No. Finish.
$500 gift card per month.
Per month
to your favorite clothing store for 1 year.
What? A month? $500 to the what?
How many J's you gonna have?
What?
I mean,
bruh, every listen. I'm sell. Listen. I'm going to go buy like them them foes came out there past weekend. I'm going to go hit them up. They were 200. Hold them down for a week. Wait till they sell out. That's $1,500 on eBay. Boom. Gone.
You only can wear them one time then.
I'm not wearing them.
I'm not wearing them. You ain't wearing
them. I got $500. I'm going to buy two pair.
You did? And have $100 left.
And then still have. So I'm going to get, go buy me some vinyl and a couple t-shirts, maybe some real talk, match it with the shoes, and it's all in popping.
Yeah. I'm with D.
Yeah. Man, hey, yeah, hey, you know we gonna be. That. You know we gonna be. We gonna buddy them.
Buddy them fast.
Yes, baby. We gonna be.
We coming them. To you.
Yes, sir.
All right, G.
Well, I was thinking like I was thinking you buy Jordans or whatever, you know, hot shoes are coming out, flip those and make a profit off of it. Mm-hmm. That's just a means to start a business right there.
Boom. Savvy, because why would you take $500 to do nothing?
Yeah, take the gift cards.
Hey man, do you know $500 is like a part of my leisure bill? You know what I'm saying? Like that's a leisure bill a month. Like, come on, man, I gotta do that. Yeah.
All right, here we go. Question number 4, 3, 1 of them. 80,000 cash.
Like that already.
Pick your pleasure. Or a 850 credit score.
How much cash? 80 grand?
80 grand cash.
Or 850 credit
score. Or 850
hey, this is the
score.
Easiest thing for me right here, buddy.
I mean, 850 is buying power.
Bruh.
Yes, what? 850 bruh, is buying power.
Bruh. I'm
850, I might move bruh. To the next door.
Hold on. Bruh. I know G is going to be with me. Bruh, 850 credit score? Let me tell you about that. You can buy a whole lot of stuff you can't afford. That's all you're doing. Give me them 80K. I'm going to pay to fix my credit score. I'm going to get to an 850. And I'm going to have about how much I get? I'm going to have $75,000 left. You dig what I'm saying? I might have I'm going to spend 20. Come on, man. Cash is king. Cash it because you can buy up your credit.
You gonna
credit
score?
850 credit score.
What you gonna buy? But I'm saying you ain't got no money to buy nothing.
You can borrow $1,000,000 and flip it.
Give me that cash, man.
I ain't listen, mad at you,
but because I can still, like I said, I can get my with 8K cash, I can get my credit score to an 850 without.
I can get $500,000 with an 850 score.
But you gotta pay that $500,000 back.
But flipping it, trapezing it, we'll pay it back.
Risky business.
You can get strip club.
Oh, I can get that with my 80K one. I can get that in a whole bunch of stuff.
You might need like investors and partners with that.
I
with
got
the
850
credit
listen,
score.
Listen.
You can do it yourself.
No, listen. I won't need investors because I'm going to pay to get my credit score right. And I'm going to have that cash because if I get that, I'm going to tell y'all, 850 credit score right now with me, I'm broke. So,
Facebook Live,
buy something, I can't pay
me,
for it.
Facebook Live, tell me what y'all going to do.
I can't pay for it if I go get it. Think about it.
Hey, Facebook Live, tell me what you going to do. 850 credit score, 80,000. Z, what you doing?
I'm taking the credit score. I don't have to like pay anybody to fix my credit score if it's already been magically done.
But how you going to pay for it? What you buy?
The same way you say you go flip the 80. I just got $500,000 to do the same thing.
That's risky business.
850 them other folks kind of credit score. You get some stuff done.
Yeah. You might get to a team.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. All right, last
that's a coin toss.
Yeah, I'm going 850 credit score. Facebook Live, y'all let me know what y'all doing. Last one. You get pick your pleasure. 6 months of lawn care free. That means they plant, they do all that, they doing the whole shebang. Or you get 1 year of free house cleaning. I'm going to repeat that.
Yeah.
1 year of free lawn care. Uh-huh. I mean, you ain't got to cut the grass. Mm-hmm. So you can watch college football on Saturday. Mm-hmm. 6 months or 1 year of house cleaning. Hayes will come by, clean the house, dust, do all that for 1 year. Go ahead, D-Will.
I need them to come clean my house. I'm just going $50 for the yard, Pio. I got $50 for the yard, but
he said you got to do the yard.
Oh, I
got
to do the yard?
If you take the cleaning lady, I don't cut no
grass. I don't cut no grass.
Well, however you do it now.
Yeah, I don't cut no grass.
Oh, okay.
No.
I get a ride llama?
However you want.
I would a ride llama, I mean.
He said no questions to the question. He broke the rules.
No, well, it's one.
Gets one. Everybody gets one.
I got one. He got one. Ride llama more. I'm cutting the grass.
Cutting the grass.
I'm getting someone to clean the house.
Yeah, man. But listen, let me tell y'all something, man, what you can do. Hold on,
it's like living in a hotel.
Right? Yeah.
You gotta wash no dishes. You gotta
I get to pick my maid.
You don't get to wash no clothes. You don't have the dust.
I get to wash day clothes.
You know. So house cleaning.
Yeah. Y'all don't watch enough internet.
Well, let me ask you this.
This
is off. What if the Gonzalez twins cut the grass?
That's outside. They ain't doing it, but they sweating. Imagine if twins wiping out your tub and cleaning your shower. Put them on the glass. Y'all remember something mixed a lot?
I don't know what y'all talking about.
Hey, imagine the Gonzalez twins in an apron. Period.
I don't even
cleaning your house.
I don't even know the guns. What's her name? No, stop
it. I'm taking the house cleaning. Yeah. I don't cut my grass now, so.
Thank you, bro.
I ain't cut
no grass in 10 years.
Yeah, I ain't cut no grass now. But look, let's go in for the SRT Fun Bag, and thanks for all those who tuned in to listen. Hope you had great, great fun with that. As we always say, man, this is where sports and entertainment meets. Yes, and boy, sir, this is entertaining.
I see you, cuz. Cuz said, take the 80 grand and buy his pedestal.
Hey, thank you. That's what I said. Hey, Dale checking in on 1100 AM right now. Dale said, give me them 80K. Give me them 80K,
give
man.
Me 80K.
Yes, man. Shout out, cuz.
Shout out, cuz. Shout out, Dale.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I see you, Trace, on Facebook Live. She say 1 year cleaning the house. I hear you. All right, man. It's time for us to jump into the SRT Roundtable Discussion.
The Roundtable Discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it! Roundtable Discussion sponsored by our main man. Thanks to Jay for coming in last week. Jay's Used Cars. If you need a pre-owned, used, or a new car, please contact Jay at jaysusedcars.com. You can call him at 770-496-0339. Go to jaysusedcars.com for the inventory. Jay did his thing last week. We had a lot of people call me and say, man, I need to get a car. Drop that information. He did his thing. So let's continue to move on that. But one thing we do have to talk about in this roundtable discussion, the Hawks new GM said that they are going to offer Millsap their best offer. Other teams may offer him more. With the Dwight Howard trade, basically, it looks like they're saying that I have a limit that I'm going to offer you. If you take it, fine. If you don't, we're going to move on.
Somebody cut on boys and men, baby.
Yeah.
Say goodbye. It's time for him to go, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And along with that, and what you mentioned earlier, is they're in the talks with teams, Houston being one of them, with a sign and trade.
Right.
So that is a possibility as well. And also, I want to say Oklahoma City could be another destination for him.
I had that written down. I have it at the moment. But yeah, I heard about four teams. Houston. I think you're right, Oklahoma City.
Sacramento and Denver, I think.
It was Denver. I do remember Denver. I don't remember Sacramento, but I do remember Denver.
Yeah. You're right. So look for that. Also, now this is my thing. Jimmy Butler has pulled his name out of the Cleveland stuff. Said he spoke to LeBron, and all of a sudden now He said, I don't want to be traded to Cleveland. I want to stay here in Chicago. Is there something to that to say maybe Cleveland is hitting the reset button and they're going to rebuild because...
You're almost right.
Allegations.
You're almost right. It ain't Cleveland hit the reset. It's LeBron hit the reset.
Now, and I was going to say, LeBron's wife says allegedly says she want to live in L.A. full time.
Right. And see, another thing I told you about the other day, you told me no, but I thought even maybe moving Kyrie even before this.
They would but give... He's
talking about...
Griffin wouldn't trade Kyrie. Right.
He's talking about maybe leaving or putting pressure on the organization to move him.
Yes.
Himself.
He wants Kyrie, yeah.
Yeah, because he sees the writing on the wall.
So that LeBron go hit the reset. Also, Cleveland, because everybody is trying to get out of that.
Well, let me ask you, if you were Cleveland, would you try to ask LeBron, well, I know you're leaving after next year. Can I go ahead and try to get something for you now? Because the thing is, he has a no trade, so you can't trade unless
he said
agrees to it. So if you were in that position, asking either one of you, and you knew your franchise is going to be decimated when he leaves and you're not getting anything for him, this would be the year to get something for him before he goes into the final year. Would you try to talk him into going now, or would you take that brunt of what the city is going to be? How you going to get rid of LeBron? You had one more year, you know. What would you do if
I'm trying to get rid of him. I'm trying to get rid of him.
I'm going
to
tell you like this. I'm doing my one last year of the championship run. You got to go get the ship while you can. Because if you move him this year, you know you're going to be bad. And whatever you get in is not going to be good enough to win.
But you're not going to even have a chance after he leaves.
You're not going to have a chance if he leaves if you trade him. The window is closing.
I would be with you if they hadn't won one already.
Okay.
If they hadn't won one, if you still needed one.
Yeah. Cleveland has... They out. That one championship is like two.
I feel you. I get it. I'm just saying, me personally.
I got you.
If I had one more year with LeBron, I'm gonna run him into the ground. If I know I'm not going to have him, yeah, I'm gonna run him till the wheels fall off and plan accordingly for that, knowing he's gonna leave in a year. But with the Jimmy Butler thing, to go back to the original, I think Jimmy Butler pulled out because he didn't get that. Yes, I'm staying from LeBron.
Yeah. Right.
He didn't get the security because he know him and Kyrie is not going to be enough. And especially not only not be enough, who wants to live in Cleveland? So he doesn't want to get stuck in Cleveland and then not winning.
Right.
I can be stuck in Chicago not winning and be the man with no question who's the man.
Right.
So I think he didn't get that okay from Jimmy Butler, which changed his mind. From going to Cleveland.
I agree 100%. But I just think I would try to go ahead and say, look, man, I know you're leaving. You already planning to go. I would try to get something. But
it makes sense.
It's going to hurt you because if he doesn't do it, you're in trouble. You know, and the thing about it is, at least you might be able to get a king's ransom if you move LeBron right now.
I agree.
If he leaves and leaves you nothing, you have nothing because you're not going to be one of the worst teams in the league, so you're not going to be in the lottery. You see what I'm saying? So if he ups and pulls up stakes next year and goes, that leaves you with Kyrie. And Kyrie,
if he's already trying to move,
yeah. Kyrie,
now if he knows,
you can get a king's ransom for Kyrie also.
I know you could for Kyrie.
So why not
move both
LeBron? Move no, just move.
You just talking about move.
Run LeBron into the and move Kyrie. Move Kyrie. And then you lose LeBron, but you're still getting the king's ransom back for Kyrie.
Well, you're getting some, but you need
you're still going to have Kevin Love. You still got Kevin Love. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good way to look at it.
You got options. My thing is, I think it's asinine to trade a LeBron James. Like, especially when you're still the best team in your conference. They're going back to the finals next year. Unless some miraculous happens.
Depends on what Celtics do, I think, man.
It may be asinine to trade LeBron James, but you have to consider that this is Dan Gilbert, who is bat guano crazy. And he may feel like, okay, I don't want LeBron to up and leave again. I get nothing again. So
I'm going to you know, do what I can to get what I get
something. I want from one more chance at that trophy, man. Because who's this? Like, how long? Cleveland never had an NBA championship, right?
Nah, they never had championships.
They never went to the finals.
Yeah, exactly. Ever. So I'm saying, why? What makes you think you would ever get back there again? Why not go for it? Hey, man, one last shine of glory.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so Paul Gasol is opting out.
Mm. Right.
Is that clearing the way for Chris Paul?
I think it helps to try to bring him in there. I might be in a minority, though, but I don't see how that works with him and Pop. I think Pop is not going to allow Chris Paul to be Chris Paul, to be honest with you. I think Chris Paul needs that, you know, that autonomy to do whatever he wants to do. And Pop just seems like he's a little more hands-on than that and not going to allow him to just, you know, call his own number. Something about that really just, I don't think it works. That's just me. That's just the way I see it.
Weezer, what you?
I see where you're coming from because we know who Chris Paul is and we know who Pop is. But like I said last week, we've seen Pop change. We've seen him make adjustments and make adjustments to the times and get with the program, basically. We've seen him do that. And both of them are at the end of their role, all right? Pop's not going to coach another 15 years, all right? We know that. We know Chris Paul's not going to play another 15 years. So both this window of opportunity is very small for them. Both of them have to compromise.
But what I'm asking you is because we've heard how he talked to Tim Duncan, how he talked to Manu, how he talked to all the team, even to Kawhi. Do you think if he talks to Chris Paul that way,
Chris Paul better get in line?
Is he going to be able to get in line with that?
Yeah, he has no choice. Like, my thing is, Chris Paul's a great player, but we're talking Tim Duncan, the greatest power forward of all time. And I understand they're two totally different personalities and receive information differently. But like I say, that window for Chris Paul is very small.
If he wants a ship.
If he really wants a ship, he'll compromise. If he wants to be the egotistical, I'm Chris Paul bulldog,
The legacy of him not getting to finals as good as he is, the championship would alleviate all of that.
Does Chris Paul make them?
They're not being Golden State.
That's what I'm asking.
No.
Yeah. So he's still not getting
them. No. But exactly. But
you trying.
Exactly. That's my point with the Cleveland thing. You trying.
It's so funny to me how Golden State is, well, they just did because of this. But everybody in the NBA is trying to get themselves together to play them.
Yeah. Period.
But this is not one of the greatest teams of all time.
Yeah, stop.
Stuff is just this and whatever and all that. But it's just funny to me. This is the most entertaining and the most interesting offseason in the NBA I've seen in a long time. And it all revolves around Golden State.
Now, somebody said that this offseason is more exciting than the playoffs.
It's more exciting maybe than the
first couple rounds.
Yeah, first couple rounds for sure.
Yeah.
All right, G, what you got?
I think it's I agree with you that it's everyone's chasing Golden State. Like, and you don't see that a lot where teams are making moves to try to beat one team.
Right.
You in the offseason, you're thinking about, okay, where's this guy going to go? Where's this guy going to go? But you know now with this offseason, all the moves are predicated on, okay, how do we beat Golden State? Like I said before, that's what Cleveland had to do. That's why Paul George and Jimmy Butler's names are being thrown around because they got to get somebody to beat Golden State. That's exactly the only team that they're worried about. So that's the only team that everybody else is worried about.
All right, last on the list before we get into the second hour of the show. They say Andre Iguodala may be leaving Golden State to get a payday. Money grab, got two rings, now it's time to get paid. Hawks is a possibility. Is this going to be the Dan Quinn Seattle connection? Are we going to just...
You know, sometimes to me, players are good in certain situations because they fit what that team needs.
Right.
I think Iguodala's best years we know are past him. You know, I always talk about being on that hill.
Right.
But he's not on top of the hill anymore. He's on the other side.
Right.
For any team to go out and break the bank and pay him a large sum of money for what he's done, I don't think that's smart. I even heard Iguodala say in game five, when they asked him about it, they asked him how many minutes, Steve Kerr asked him how many minutes he could give him. He said, I can give you how many you need. But after the game, he said, that was it. I couldn't have played the next game. So you see what I'm saying? If it took that much out of him to play the way he did, how is he going to benefit a team to be a catalyst on a team for a whole 82-game season? You see what I'm saying? Then possibly for it doesn't happen like that. In Golden State, he can pick his spots.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not going to go to a contender and they use him like that, that's fine.
What
but I don't think in Atlanta.
What if he goes to San Antonio?
Well, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
But San Antonio doesn't pay that kind of money to free agents. We already know that.
He might as well stay in Golden State.
So that's what I'm saying. They don't pay that kind of money there.
But we've seen this story before. We've seen Andre Iguodala in his heyday, in his prime. Like you said, he's on the other side of the hill. We saw him in his prime as the lead guy in Philly and in Denver. And we all quickly realized that's not who he is. He's not the 25 points per night guy. He is the 12 to 15, play great D. He's a six man, basically, now in his career. So, of course, why would anybody, especially the Atlanta Hawks, go give him money besides, I would say the Hawks give him money for one reason. Because they're about to blow it up and they have to put some kind of butts in the seat. And he's not big enough to do that, but with him coming off two championships, the name MVP, finals MVP, the name may keep the fans there until the losing starts. You see what I'm saying? But he would be enough to market for the next season.
Yeah. I just wouldn't cloud up my roster with
that much
money. I wouldn't tie up $16 or $15 million.
But Kevin Durant came out and said he's going to take a pay cut.
Yeah, he's taking a pay cut.
To keep Iguodala there. So I don't think Iguodala's going
to Golden State can pay any more than about 12 or 13, I'm thinking, a year to him.
Yeah.
And I think he's looking for
What is he at now?
12, 11 and a half.
Yeah, 11 and a half.
Be able to get maybe a couple more a year, but I don't think they're going to be in that 14 to 15, 14 to 17.
Right.
Where he wants to be. Yeah, exactly. I think that would be a dumb move for him to leave just for the money grab.
Yeah, I agree. All right, man, we'll go. That's going to end the first hour of the show. We're going to come back, and we got Deshaun Tate in the building, so we're going to talk some more NBA. We're going to definitely talk about this draft when we come back. So, man, keep it locked. You listen to Sports Roundtable, srtradio.com.
Are you thinking about changing the station? You're only hurting yourself. Keep listening to Sports Roundtable on 1100 AM.
You are tuned into WWWE Hapeville, AM 1100.
Worldwide Radio Network.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
Tax season is coming to a close, and if you're still looking for a new, pre-owned, or used car, look no further. Jay's Used Cars is the place to be. Jay believes your job is your credit, and no matter what your situation is, Jay will get you a car. Visit Jay's Used Cars at 3820 Lawrenceville Highway in Tucker and mention Sports Roundtable and get a 10% discount. And before you get there, go to jaysusedcars.com to check out the inventory. Jay's Used Cars, where they stack them deep and sell them cheap. What's up, Sports Roundtable listeners? This is Greg, a.k.a. G-Money, a.k.a. the man behind the glass for the SRT crew. Now, do you have a podcast or radio show you want to take to the next level? Are you a DJ looking for that special voice for your drops during your set? Are you looking for some narration for that big presentation? Do all of these apply, but you're on a budget? Well, come see me at Fiverr.com, Fiverr.com. I can do all of these and more, just starting at $5. That's
it. $5. I know you got $5. So stop by Fiverr.com/Greg Hurd. That's GREGHURD. Check out my demo and hit me up with an order so we can make that presentation, that pod, that drop really pop. Who knows? Maybe I can help you make a better show than Sports Roundtable. But don't tell the crew I said that, okay? Just that's between us. Fiverr.com/Greg Hurd. Hit me up, and I hope to hear from you soon.
Sports Roundtable.
Hey, what's up with the male rompers? Cam Newton, Young Dro, male rompers. Like, these men walk around with camel toe. True enough, they are. They're in a romper. What is going on?
Only on 1100 AM, the Worldwide Radio Network.
Yo.
What up? What
we
up?
Must be back with a new season, man.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
1100 AM.
That right. That
and
right.
We got Tiff, Hand in the building, HO and
what
Coach.
Up? What up?
You now about to witness the strength of Sports Talk Radio.
Lego.
I can read your mind. You know it's that time.
Hold up.
Boy, I'm so fly. I feel like Brent Grimes. About to kill the whole season, man. SRT got picks for days. Ain't no telling when I'm all in. Never stall in. Pass the ball in the LBJ. That's the King fam. Woo. Been bowling since Space Jam. New logo like the LA Rams. SRT next up. Big dog picks Devin Hester. And that's the word on the street. Woo. Tiff got me right like we run in the screen. Real talk, canine. I know what I mean. We causing the scene. SRT got what you want every week.
I ain't gonna say it.
What up? It's the Sports Roundtable, live from the SRT Studios overlooking Atlantic Station, and we're here each and every Wednesday from 7 to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thanks for tuning in to the first hour of the show. It was great. SRT Fun Bag was hot. We had some hot news. We talked about some rumors and some things of that nature. LeBron may be going to L.A. because his wife said so. Things of that nature. So, I got to mention in some other news, the Braves are talking about moving Freddie Freeman to third base. Because of Matt Adams, the way he has been hitting and performing since Freddie Freeman has been out, don't think it's a good move, but Freddie Freeman as a team player, they say he was taking ground balls at third base today. I don't know how that's going to look. One thing maybe y'all don't know. I'm going to tell y'all how Ice Cube can really make some money. The fight is announced the 26th, right?
Yeah.
T-Mobile Arena in Vegas. That's the same night that the Big Three has this championship. Guess who has the arena booked for that night? Ice Cube. The fight potentially can get up to $500,000, right? $500 million.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. $500 million. If he asked for 10% of that to relocate, he just came up. I can bet you he can play It Was a Good Day all the way home.
All the way home.
That's D Will, that's coming up.
That's paper, man.
Coming up.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Devontae Freeman, he said his contract will be done before training camp. I'm looking at maybe 4 years, $27, $28 million, something like that. $16 million guaranteed. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, you're going to give him a healthy signing bonus.
Yeah.
Keep him happy.
Healthy signing bonus as well. Wade, that's Dwayne Wade, the Teddy Riley lookalike, said that he's going to opt in.
He got no choice. Yeah.
And he has 24 million reasons exactly. To do so.
Exactly.
So you will see him again in Chicago.
Fooled him once with that LeBron. Exactly. He gave some money back.
Yeah.
Mama said, don't get fooled again.
Man, he married the Cap.
Now, I saw this report earlier that DeAndre Jordan is on a trading block from the Clippers and that it was a trade already turned down by Phoenix that they were going to send Tyson Chandler back to LA along with a pick or something for DeAndre Jordan.
I think the fourth pick, wasn't
it? Fourth pick, yeah.
But hold on. They talk about trading DeAndre Jordan. When y'all
already offered.
Hold on.
When they had to sleep over.
When y'all had to take a chair, put it under the doorknob.
When they had to sleep over.
Come on, man.
Yeah, come on, man.
But now you want to get rid of it.
But that's what we said. That one-dimensional player is in trouble now, man.
He's
that one-dimensional guy is a problem.
He is priced out of the NBA.
And that's interesting because that would be the Clippers getting older by getting Tyson Chandler.
It's all about that pick. They trying to get that pick.
Yep.
Yeah,
they're trying to get that full pick.
And also, we mentioned this earlier, possible sign and trade for Millsap to Houston looks like that is the top contender for that. And Houston has put everybody on the block. They're trying to get Blake Griffin. They're trying to get Chris Paul. And they're trying to get Paul Millsap.
So how does that work with Paul, with him being a mid-range guy, basically, and they shoot so many threes? You know, that's what Daryl Morey wants to do.
Right.
Does that work?
Well, the players he has there now they don't shoot threes. You see what I'm saying? He needs to get something in there. But
I think Millsap would, I mean, yeah, he'll be shooting threes, but he's also will be seen kind of as a defensive stopper, kind of like how D'Antoni had Sean Marion. I know he's a lot older, but they'll have a player like that in Millsap if they get him.
Okay. That makes sense. Also, I got to ask my main man, Hancock, the U.S. Open golf, second lowest rating in the history.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you, Tiger downfall is hurting the golf game more than him, or is it hurting him more than the golf game?
It's hurting golf big time because Tiger's rich. Think about golf is... The people that came into golf weren't into golf because it was an elitist sport. When Tiger left, viewership of the average person or the moderate golf fan, if you want to say that, you know, that left too. I haven't watched golf since he stopped playing, to be honest.
Have you swung a club since then?
I still go out and swing. Not like I did.
Thank you.
But what I'm saying is, I mean, he transcended sports. As transcended golf, let's put it like that. He brought people into golf that, you know, going out to the golf course and didn't even know what to wear.
Mm-mm.
You see what I'm saying? I mean,
smoking green on the green.
I mean, he brought a whole different element to the game.
Yeah.
You know, made brothers on the course.
Yeah.
Tiger, and they still go.
Tiger Woods is hip hop.
But he brought.
They tried it.
Tiger Woods made golf cool. To be honest with you, he made it cool. And, you know, he was so, you know, one-tracked about winning. And you see the difference. Every week, these guys don't win tournament after tournament. They miss cuts. All the top golfers now have as many missed cuts as Tiger had in his career. You see what I'm saying? They're missing cuts left and right. He didn't miss because he was all... Every weekend, we knew we were going to be able to watch Tiger play.
It was Tiger or the field.
He was going to be there. Whether he was there, he was going to be in contention. So golf has lost out on a lot of money. You know, nobody cares.
Hey, on Facebook Live, my boy Clint just tuned in, Roll Tide. He just said golf is dead because courses have priced the public out. Think about it. It's expensive. And more popular as demand went up, so did the price.
But what I'm saying, sponsorship, and I agree with what he's saying as far as us going.
We're talking about the casual golf player.
But we would be watching. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I would have watched the U.S. Open had Tiger been playing.
Who won?
I would have watched the Masters.
What's Buddy name that won?
Kapka.
Who's Buddy?
That's what I'm saying. So,
go ahead, dude.
I just wanted to add that this is the first time, I think, since 94 that there was no Tiger and no Phil Mickelson. So, and for me, it's like, I don't know any of the other guys' names.
That's what I mean. And see, the people that tune in to watch Tiger, if you were a fan, you tune in to see him play. Then you had the haters that wanted to see him lose. You see what I'm saying? So that brought in that crowd. Well, I don't want him to win. I hope he loses. I hope he misses his putt.
Hey, but, bro, Tiger got 740 million reasons.
That's what I'm saying. So who's hurt?
Who hurt?
Golf's hurt. And and Tiger, how much did he give his wife when they split up?
500.
And he still got how much?
740.
So Tiger was Golden State before Golden State.
This is as of May 30th, 2017.
He got that sleep money.
Come on,
He made money with his sleep. That's good money.
All right, man. So now we're about to move into one of our favorite segments, and one of our favorite guys is here in the booth with us, and we're about to talk some NBA. But before we move into the introduction of what this segment is about, let me introduce to you guys a rag to riches story that you will probably see in the book one day. I'm pretty sure. The mean streets of Michigan bleeds green. If I cut him, it won't be red. It's gonna be green. Hangs out with Draymond Green. Hangs out with Izzo. I mean, I don't know why we hadn't gotten his autograph yet. But ladies and gentlemen, you have to get this guy's autograph because he's in the building. Our favorite guy, college basketball expert. We're talking NBA tonight about the kids going to the league, and he's in the building with the SRT crew. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Mr. Deshaun Tate.
What up, man?
What up, though?
What up, though?
You been doing? You said what up, though? So you must have been doing your homework.
Yeah, I got that Michigan coming out.
Man. Check is in the mail, by the way, for that too. Man. I appreciate that. Don't cash it yet. Nah, you're gonna be real disappointed. You go to cash that.
How you been, man? I see you. You still hanging out with the celebrities, and the celebrities hanging out with you. So
you know the celebrities hanging out with me. Come on, now. You know better than that. Don't try me. It's all good. No, it's been every bit of a blessing, man. Just being able to wake up every day, put your 10 toes down on the carpet, and just live your dream. Go do something that you know, I'm not going to say you do for free, but just being thankful for the opportunities and the blessings that you have before you. There's a lot of people out there laying concrete, got the jackhammer out there from 6 a.m. in the morning in 100-degree weather. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Not for me.
But I get an opportunity to check into a place that I love going to each and every single morning, man, and go talk about all this good stuff about who's going where, why, trades, draft, program situations, players, coaches, systems, organizations, franchises, all that good stuff, man. So I'm just happy that you guys are bringing me on and to be a part of this again.
Oh, man, it's family, man. So with that being said, second hour of the Roundtable Discussion.
The Roundtable Discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
We here. Roundtable Discussion. 92.9, Deshaun Tate is in the building. We about to rock it out, baby. The draft is tomorrow. I think we did somewhat of a mock draft 3-4 weeks ago, things of that nature. My first question is the trade between Philly and the Celtics, man. I mean, your thoughts on that? Was it Boston didn't really see a need for Markelle Fultz, or Philly needs him? And the bigger question is, what does Markelle Fultz bring to the NBA?
Markelle Fultz is Jamal Crawford all over again, at least I like to think so. I don't know if he will cap there, but I like to think that he will cap there if he can get that far within his career. I mean, Jamal Crawford's been doing this thing for probably, I would like to think, it's about 17 years. And that's a long time. Anybody can do anything. No matter what it is, right. It don't even have to be a sport. You do anything for 17 years and be consistent at it and be as consistent as you was when you first came in and still, you know, grow within is a pretty big deal. So I think that speaks volume about what Markelle Fultz has done so far on the level that we've seen it, which isn't necessarily on the bigger stage. But moving on to the NBA, I like to think that won't budge or go very far. Because I was listening to some people and they were talking about how you don't really see any weaknesses in his game. And to be honest with you, you really don't if you watch him. But we haven't seen him on the biggest stage. We haven't seen him in the NCAA tournament. We haven't seen guys trying to go out there and just lock him down or playing against the best competition in the country, where we saw UCLA play against Kentucky and North Carolina and so on and so forth. But I was listening to some things that Danny Ainge has said earlier in the week, in which he said, we didn't mind sacrificing our number one pick and dropping down to three because the person that we wanted, we felt like would be there at number three anyway.
Wow.
So it seemed like a no-brainer. I think that they won the draft already. Not just because of who they can get at number three. After you realize you're not taking Markelle Fultz, I'm a firm believer that the two organization and franchise changers that will be partaking and participating in this draft, there's two of them. I think it's Lonzo Ball is one of them, and I think Josh Jackson is the other one. Going after Josh Jackson seems like pretty much the consensus as far as I'm concerned, but there's been some talks that they might want to move around and go after Jason Tatum. You're a Duke guy, obviously, so you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
I'm not going to say that that would be my move, per se, because I no Detroit bias, none of that stuff, but I really like, I mean, it's hard to say Josh Jackson isn't the best player in this draft, to be honest with you. Right. And I think people are disrespecting him a little bit and people kind of forgetting about him a tad bit. But I say that the Celtics won in this draft because they're positioning themselves for next year's draft, which will be the draft. This one is a top heavy draft when you're talking about Fox, Fultz, Ball,
Smith,
Monk. Smith Jr. is probably in there at the tail end. I guess Jonathan Isaac, I suppose. After that, like, you really...
Wow, that was ugly.
I suppose. Keywords, I suppose. But after that, you know, things start... There's really a lot of uncertainty.
Right.
I don't think that'll be the case when you have Michael Porter Jr. and Colin Sexton and, you know, Mo Bamba and Trayvon Duval. And I think next year's going to be a much better draft. And I think the moves that the Celtics made this week is positioning themselves for that next year.
All right, let's get to this top 10. Who you got on your mock draft, baby? Let's get to it and let's get with it.
I got Markelle Fultz, number one to the Sixers. Obviously, they need some scoring. Obviously, Lonzo Ball. Let me tell you something. If you're a California kid and you pass on Lonzo Ball, but you didn't pass on Jordan Farmar, there's a problem there. So from that standpoint, I like Lonzo Ball, obviously, to the Los Angeles Lakers. And everybody was talking about when D'Angelo Russell was coming out that, you know, I heard Magic Johnson's name thrown around a little bit too much. But now you got Magic Johnson himself talking about the comparison between he and Lonzo Ball. So I like Lonzo Ball at two. At three, I like Josh Jackson, obviously. Phoenix at the four spot. Whatever you do, like I said, just you can't take another Kentucky guard here. Whatever you do, you've got
you can't reach
way
the Fox.
Too many.
Yeah.
You got way too many of those.
What do they think of the Aaron Fox out there?
Huh? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't think you do. I think this is where you take the Duke kid, to be quite honest. This is where you take Tatum. Up next at five is Sacramento, and you pair Buddy Hield in the backcourt, who's starting to find his way after the New Orleans Pelicans situation, and you pair him with a De'Aaron Fox.
Nice backcourt, by the way.
In a very nice backcourt.
Yo. Very nice backcourt.
And you got another Kentucky guy in the front court and Willie Cauley-Stein, who will probably throw some shots to the popcorn stands and whatnot from a defensive standpoint. And then you have another opportunity to get a big after your loss of DeMarcus Cousins with the 10th pick.
Well, I'm going to let you finish.
So at six, Orlando, that's where I like Malik Monk, a guy who a lot of people forgot about.
Yes.
I mean, we were talking about this guy being possibly a top three pick halfway through the college basketball season after he dropped 30 on Michigan State and then 47 on North Carolina.
What was that last team you said?
The national champs. The national
got
champs.
Him.
I wasn't sure.
Got him.
I should have just said he dropped 47 on the national champs. Some Duke people in here today, clearly. But no, Minnesota. Minnesota's up next at seven. That's where I like Jonathan Isaac. Youthful, a guy who can run the floor, going to get out in transition with all the youthful players that they got out there. And they're drafting on a lot of potential once you get to this point of draft anyways. And then the guy that I like to take over, either learn from Derrick Rose or play, you know, in Derrick Rose's spot, train him from the ground up if Derrick Rose is no longer there, and that's Dennis Smith Jr.
I like him.
To me, I think, the Steve Francis all over again. At nine is Dallas. Here goes your replacement for Dirk Nowitzki, Lauri Markkanen. And then at number 10, joining De'Aaron Fox, That's where I like Justin Patton from Creighton. Add some size up front to go with a deep backcourt with Hield and Fox.
Okay.
Well, I got one question first.
No doubt.
The number 7 pick at Minnesota. They need a point guard so bad. Do you think they can afford to pass on Dennis Smith Jr.?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, there's been some talks about what they're going to do with Rubio. That's been of the last 2 or 3 years, I think. And then they thought that Chris Dunn was going to be that guy, and he didn't seem like he was that guy. But you're only giving him a shot at 1 year as well.
But is he a point guard?
Dunn?
Yes.
I think so. I just don't think he got enough run at the point guard.
Go ahead.
When he did play for extended periods, he put up nice numbers. And as you know, I'm a fan dude guy.
Yeah.
So when I watched him when Rubio didn't play and he played, his numbers were through the roof as far as assists, scoring, and things that he did. So a lot of it has to be you got to get time to play. You know, and
I think he'll be more effective off the ball.
Well, that's where they've had some talks. So we're talking about Rubio, and it seems like his time is up, and he's, you know, been prone to some injuries from time to time and not necessarily giving you what you expected, especially from a scoring standpoint if you need that out of a point guard. And Chris Dunn, he can't shoot. Chris Dunn is actually an older kid,
right?
Yeah, he will.
And what you expect out of him is one thing. What he's giving you is another thing, but you're investing in him. Mm-hmm. And you can't expect for a guy, I don't care how, you know, how old he is, it's his first year in the league. You can't have too high of expectations. Outside of that, I don't know. There was some talks earlier on, some weeks ago, about bringing in Derrick Rose. I think those have fizzled out a little bit. But outside of that, you can always go get a veteran point guard if need be, because you need somebody up front to help assist the young guys that you have between Wiggins and LaVine and somebody that can help out Towns a little bit up front for if you run into a situation where you not just have the whole load on him and him only. Or you can go with a point guard here, but that's the thing is that Dennis Smith Jr. is pretty much all you have. Who's to say Dennis Smith Jr. isn't the guy that's taken before this point? Because somebody might see what we're seeing at this point. And if not, somebody's going to come away with probably the biggest steal in the draft. That's Dennis Smith Jr.
I got a question for you. Been looking at a lot of mock drafts. And we can get to your steal of the draft. You mentioned one. But I think Terrence Ferguson is overlooked. A outstanding shooter. 6'7 wing guy. And I saw a couple of mocks draft, had him going to the Hawks at 19. And I think that's something that they could actually use if they can't sign Hardaway. But I think he is somebody that is, because he went overseas to play and things of that nature, that a lot of teams may be overlooking. I want your thoughts on Terrence Ferguson.
Well, the Hawks just opened up a whole lot of money.
Hey.
But I think I like to know where that's going, although I don't, you know, I'm obviously not too far on the inside of that and that decision that was just recently made yesterday. But I'm not sure that the Hawks is smart enough to take Terrence Ferguson if he's still there, to be honest with you.
All right, Schlink.
I mean, this is my personal opinion just based on yesterday, and I don't think that decision should have been made. So far, of the decisions that have been made from a GM standpoint, I'm not a huge fan of.
Right.
So I can't. And plus, the Hawks, as the history of a franchise, hasn't given me much of a reason to believe that they're going to draft in a smart manner. You know, and that goes all the way back to
Romeo Robinson.
Hey, Big H.O., you need a fan? I see smoke coming from your ears right now.
I mean, hey. I mean, not only Marvin Williams, but hold your horses, because Sheldon Williams is a part of that conversation too. So Adrian Payne is part of that too.
That's your boy.
No, that's my boy. Yeah. Salim Stoudemire and all the rest of them. So anyway,
Ed Gray.
I don't want to go
Salim
there.
Salim Stoudemire. He went there.
I don't want to be that dude. However, I think that it would be a huge steal. It's like you read my mind. After Dennis Smith Jr., I think maybe the biggest steal in this draft probably is Terrence Ferguson, a guy who can play and be balanced on both sides of the ball, offensively, defensively. He's going to be able to be a much better scorer than people have actually credited him for.
Right.
He needs to put on some weight, but Kent Bazemore isn't a really big guy either.
Right.
You know, but they have to figure out what they're going to do from a wing standpoint because they just paid him a whole lot of money. I don't know what they're going to do between he and Tim Hardaway. I can't imagine both of them getting paid, you know, backing up right. the Brinks truck for both of those guys, and you still don't have a post presence.
Right.
And you really still don't know what you're going to get if Millsap's coming back. You're going to end up with a team full of guards.
Yeah.
Small ball is making his way back into the NBA, but I'm not sure that that's the ideal of a small ball the way the Hawks want
to
do it.
Let me ask you about this guy. And this guy, not to go to any of the teams that we're talking about, but he can play basketball. Josh Hart from Villanova.
Sure.
What do you think, being a senior, where do you think he might land, and is he this year's Brogdon?
I think he has the potential of being this year's Brogdon. Only thing about that is, like, that is a good thing, but, like, I'm not sure that that's, like, a great thing because Malcolm Brogdon is a guy who doesn't have the explosiveness. He's not overly athletic or anything like that. He's not a great shooter, but he's a solid point guard that can last in this league for a very, very long time. It's like an Andre Miller almost to me,
bingo,
in a sense. But
don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about their abilities as Petrini. I'm talking about that guy that nobody saw coming.
I don't know.
Do you think
Hart
falls to somebody, a good team, and he ends up playing?
He could. I mean, if you run into a San Antonio situation, yes.
That's
but
what I'm saying,
something
like that.
San Antonio is one of many, you know. I mean, or one of few, rather.
Right.
But I don't know. He could end up being just like, you know, there's a name I want to bring up, another former Villanova guard whose name was Scotty Reynolds. He ended up being the first and only first team All-American ever in the history of college basketball to be first team All-American and not get drafted.
Not get drafted.
That could be Josh Hart here.
Yeah.
So either he's going to be one of those, or he could potentially be on the other side, closer to the former Villanova of Kyle Lowry or something like that. There was another guy that was right there with Kyle Lowry. I can't think of the name
of the other guard.
But he wasn't as big of a star. And he's in the league.
Randy Foy.
Now, if we're talking about a Randy Foy or something like that, then yeah, potentially I could see him sticking. But it's got to be the right situation, or he might be a journeyman similar to a Randy Foy.
The person that is going up the draft board, that's surprising people, that has shown in workouts that is just moving up the charts. What player is that?
I'm not sure if there's one that really exists. I know coming out of the combine, Frank Jackson from Duke helped himself out a whole lot. Kyle Kuzma from Utah helped himself out a whole lot. Frank Jackson kind of reminds me more of like a game manager style. He may not win you many games, but he ain't going to lose you no games either, which is not a horrible problem to have if you're just trying to keep a job and stick around in the league. If there's a guy that's moving up, like I said, I'm not sure if there is one. I mean, Jordan Bell maybe, but I mean,
Hancock's been on him.
A lot of people, you love him.
He loves it.
A lot of people love him, man. But my only issue, like, he's gonna do the little things. He's gonna do the dirty work. He's gonna give you effort, and all that good stuff. My only issue with that is, will he play defense? Sure, he's defensive player of the year, but that was at Oregon in a conference where they don't play any defense at all. But you can't knock the effort, and you can't knock Hart. That could be a huge asset, a beneficial piece to what the Hawks are trying to do. But I think if there's just one guy, and of course he's already at the top of the list, but I think if there's one guy who could probably shock anybody in with Boston's number three pick, or I just think he's a great interviewer, he's a hard worker, and he's doing everything right now, that guy is probably De'Aaron Fox.
Exactly. I agree. I heard him on three interviews and very impressed with how he conducted himself. And I think he's the guard to take in this draft. I know we keep hearing about Lonzo Ball, and I know you all talking about Dennis Smith and even Folks. But it's something, to me, he has a lot of John Wall in him.
He does.
He's explosive. He can defend. Mm-hmm. He's long. I like everything about De'Aaron Fox. I'm going to be honest with you. And The problem I got is, as far as the Lakers, what is the NBA now? It's not a Magic Johnson type point guard right now. Mm-hmm. We have point guards that are explosive that can put up 25, mm-hmm. 30 a night. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure with Ball, I'm scared of that shot, man. I'm gonna be honest with you. Every time I see it,
it doesn't concern me at all.
You scared of it going through the net or what part of it?
I'm scared that in this league, they take stuff away from you. You know that, and sure. I know that. Mm-hmm. And for one thing, he got a target on his back every night. Oh, you know that. And they're going to try to get on that shot. Because if he goes right, he's going to bring the ball back to you to shoot. Mm-hmm. So what's the book going to be on? Stay on that side. Now, I know he has
great court vision. That's easier said than done, yeah.
I know he has great court vision. But it's a different animal in the NBA than it is in every other level he's playing.
Especially,
that's the only thing I'm worried about.
Especially with what your dad got you up to at this point, too.
Well, De'Aaron Fox's dad is not helping him either right now.
Well, maybe not a ton. But, I mean, he's also wakening up some of the GMs at the right time, the night before the draft, to say, go back and look at some of this stuff. But regardless, I like to think that...
You're not afraid of the shot.
Afraid of the shot?
Of his shot, of Ball's release.
No. I mean, what needs to be worked on will be worked on for I heard the same thing for Josh Jackson's shot. Maybe not with the same release and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, it's not such a... I mean, it's not... It's not Sean Marion's shot or anything like that.
But he got that off.
Yeah, of course.
Kevin Martin got his off.
Yeah, there's another guy that was here. Josh Childress, I think, was here in Atlanta with a crazy-looking shot. So, but one thing that he can do, well, first of all, I think that Lonzo Ball is going to be a star.
You don't think?
He's going to be a star.
Okay, now, let me ask you
this. He's probably going to be the big – he is a franchise changer. He is a natural born point guard. I think that he can lead men. If once he gets them sold on what he can do, and they help him out with what he can't do, and he sells them on his vision, finding them in the right spots, getting that ball to the right guy in traffic, wondering, did the ball just magically, invisibly appear in their hands in certain situations?
All those guys you all named with those funky shots, they weren't stars. They weren't the man on their team.
Sure.
So that kind of slides that to the left. Those guys got set up to get theirs off. We're talking about a guy that's going to have to get his off the bounce sometime. Right?
I think he can do.
He's got to have the ball in his hands.
And it'll take time. I believe that it will take time for him. But the thing I like about Lonzo Ball, and I was going to say also about Josh Jackson, we're talking about two guys who are not one-dimensional.
If the shot ain't
falling right now, guess what? I can get other people involved. He may not be athletic where I think Josh Jackson is, but the IQ of Lonzo Ball is something that I think we're missing in a lot of these other guys, like Fox, who's more athletic than Ball, Fultz, who can score more than Ball and all that stuff. Don't forget, Lonzo Ball shot 55% from the field this year. That's a point guard. Shooting 55% from the field and pretty darn good from the stripe and from distance. All those things being considered, it's hard to take a guy who is multidimensional when he's not playing well over here in this area of his game, then from over here in this facet, he can get other people involved. His motor needs some help. Mm-hmm. He's not a great defender, but there aren't very many great defenders in the NBA already as is.
Yeah, going to have to add him some. I agree with
you. That hinges off you're going to have to get a Paul George. You're going to have to get a superstar who can alleviate pressure like we talked about earlier.
I'm almost with him on the job. You know, I'm like this. If I'm getting Ball, I'm a Laker fan. Mm-hmm. So this is my selfish thing. If I'm looking at the Lakers, I'm like, am I getting Magic Johnson with Ball or do I get almost Kobe Bryant with Jackson? I like the Kobe Bryant thing.
You said, are you getting what with Ball?
With Ball, am I getting that Magic Johnson type player? You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Or am I getting with Jackson? Am I getting Kobe?
Feel
what I'm saying?
Let me say this. No Lansing bias, I promise, okay? But I will say this. When you're talking about winning championships, you got to have that that point guard. You got to have a point, and you got to have some sort of big, Golden State has changed some stuff around a little bit to show you that you don't necessarily have to have a big as far as presence or whatever, but you got to have that point guard. There's so many guys. I mean, thinking about it, Josh Jackson, I believe, is a special player. But right now, the NBA is full of guys that are 6'6", 6'7",
6'8", you know, run and jump and athleticism. What else can you bring to the table? Now, I'm not saying Josh Jackson isn't that, but you're more likely to find a Josh Jackson in Diamond of Rough or going down picking somebody from that overpopulated D League, which now is the G League, and finding somebody there than you will to find somebody that can replace Alonzo Ball. That's just what I'm a believer in.
I'm still skeptical.
Did I sell it to you, though, Hancock? Did I at least? You don't want to buy it.
I'm
going to put it on the clearance
that
rack.
That shot is killing me, dog. I'm not lying. When I see it, I watched him in his backyard go around the chair and doing his little thing with Isaiah, and he shoots the ball with. Once it's up, it starts right, then it swoops and.
But here's the thing, he doesn't have the typical shot. Most shots they get the ball above their head, so it depends on catch. Lonzo Ball shoots from his chin. He pulls it from, and it's gone. He was on Sports Science. His release is 0.12 seconds.
Oh, it's a quick
from
release.
From catch to release.
It is a very quick release.
So my thing is,
you're going to have to be up on him.
You're going to have to be up on him. And don't forget, he's 6'6". He is not a small guy. So it's not like you're going to be able to crowd him with a lot of players. He's going to be able to shoot over a lot of people.
Well, I'm probably going to have him on my squad, so I'm going to have to live with it.
No, you're going to have to love it.
Maybe I can learn to love it.
There you go.
But right now.
If you wasn't a Laker fan, would it bother you?
Yeah, it would. It would, because that shot, if that shot worked, everybody be doing it.
Don't
get me wrong. If you going to teach a jump shot, that's not the one you pull out and say, look, I want you to shoot like this. You understand what I'm saying?
That's fair.
And it's just like, Jamal Wilkes had one of the ugliest shots in the league too. But these guys that we're talking about were not the lead guys.
But Kevin Martin averaged 20.
Yeah, but he was get in the corner over there. The defense shrinks. He gets over there. They got to run out to him. They got to close out on him. He can shoot.
I think you underplaying Kevin Martin a little bit. But he can go off the dribble. He can get his shot off.
I also see it like this, too, that if it's working for him, if it's showing that it's working, I say don't change it. I know that free throws and the jump shot is totally different.
Right.
However, we could easily be talking about, who is that? Was it went to West Virginia? Where's his? Who's Grant? Who's the granny shot?
Oh, it's Rick Barry.
Rick Barry.
That's called people vain, though.
I understand, but if it's going in, hey, look, if that thing is going to drop, stick with it.
I agree.
Because you could be changing up somebody's shot for the worse. They can't go back to what.
That's fine, but I'm just saying, perfect example. And I know this was a game-ending situation, but if we recall the LeBron James shot when he was at three, when Iguodala blocked it, LeBron got the ball off and came from his left side to shoot it. Iggy knew where the ball was coming. What did he do? He stripped right to the area. But it's a strip.
Yeah, I know. I'm just...
Everybody in the league now, they're going to go right from that area where he's going to be shooting from. You're going to play him from there. When you crowd him, you're going to be on that side, waiting on that shot to come up.
And I want to say this real quick, and I'm going to let you go, okay? But with the moves that the Lakers are talking about making right now, he may not even be in a position where he's going to even really be needing to score the basketball. They talking about going after George, I don't know if 365 days from now we might be looking at Westbrook. Who knows? I don't know. True. There's so much stuff up in the air. Butler. Hayward, I don't know. We don't know. We can't speculate, but he may not be put in a position to where he's expected to score, let alone even if he is, that might be a shot that he can hit because as they continue to put pieces around, because he's going to be somebody they're going to build around him.
Exactly.
There's not another team that they're going to build players around this one person in this draft like the way that the Lakers are about to do with Lonzo Ball. When you're talking about putting Paul George and maybe one more or other piece, LeBron James, who knows? This won't even be a conversation if Paul George is a Laker.
Yep.
This ain't even a conversation if LeBron James is a Laker.
Either. So out of the four point guards that we know about, Fultz, Fox, Ball, and Smith, you rank them. And why you rank them that way?
I'm going with Ball for sure first. He's a franchise changer. I think he's going to be the star in the end a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you name it. It starts getting it gets sketchy after that. I'm gonna be honest.
It's your
with
preferences.
You.
After
I don't
that.
Think it's false. I don't think it's false. Second, maybe third. Right now, I have to go Fox there, and I want to go Dennis Smith Jr. so bad. I really, really do, just because I think he is going to be that wild card guy. Like, if he shows that of what I think he's going to be, but it's just that he hasn't done anything on a team yet the way that Lonzo has shown me on the biggest stage. The way that Fox has shown me on the biggest stage with his teammates. And I get it. Sometimes if you don't have the teammate, yeah, dropped 30 on Duke at Duke or something like that. Yeah. There ain't nobody just a regular dude walking into Cameron Indoor dropping 30 like that, you know? So you got to be special. But I got to take Fox there. And then the unfortunate part is I have to go Fultz third and I have to go Smith. I'm doing it, but I really don't want to do that. I really don't. It's hurting me. Mm. I don't even want to repeat it. Mm. But it is honestly hurting me to take Fox. I'm sorry, to take Fultz over Dennis Smith Jr. But and I know I'm gonna pay for it later. So.
Yeah, you will. You will probably. But Hancock, it's one thing. Back to the ball conversation. We can go Big H O. I think you're underestimating his ball handling ability and his ability at other areas of the game. Like, I can understand if he was one-dimensional and scoring and he was a shooter. If he was coming in as a Reggie Miller, Ray Allen, that's what we expect from him. I would understand every concern you have. But with all his extras that he brings to the table, that shot's going to be the least of his worries.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, I know he's probably going to be in that purple and gold tomorrow. So.
I'm with it, baby. Let's roll.
Hey, let's go all the way to 20 if you can real quick. And see what you got, and see what we got. We left off at 10, so let's go 11 through 20 real quick, and see what you got on that.
I was thinking Adebayo at 11 to the Hornets, but after what they just got last night, I don't think there's I don't think there's much necessity there.
Put some paint on the rim.
Ideally, if I'm let me see here, the Hornets. They don't need any bigs.
Nope.
So I would imagine maybe put somebody potentially in the backcourt to go along with Kemba Walker. Whew, that's going to be tough. I'm not even really sure where to go there. Let's go with Donovan Mitchell right there.
Okay.
Let's take Donovan Mitchell, big-time scoring guard out of Louisville who can light it up. And that's just right off the top. If I'm the Pistons at 12, I can't pass on Terrence Ferguson. If there's a way that the Hornets grab Terrence Ferguson instead at that spot, which is more ideal for them, I think that they are a huge contender in the East. Maybe not ready to beat Cleveland yet, but they're right there contending with Boston.
Where did you have Malik Monk?
I had Malik Monk at six to Orlando.
Okay.
You don't like Luke Kennard? That's the scoring guard right there.
That's not a bad spot. Let's go.
You go Luke Kennard.
Let's go with Kennard to the Hornets, and let's go Terrence Ferguson at 12 to the Pistons. I like Zach Collins to the Nuggets. That's a really good fit for him at 13, and Kyle Kuzma to Miami. Luke Babbitt just ain't cutting it no more at power forward for them.
We got to let it go on Luke Babbitt.
Yeah. At some point, I like Kyle Kuzma there because he can stretch out a little bit in regards to. Mid-range jump shot, which you don't even see out of guards anymore.
Drum roll.
You like the Blazers?
Nah, I'm talking about your next pick.
Oh, at 15 to the Blazers?
Yeah.
I like TJ Leaf, man. I do like TJ Leaf. I really, really like TJ Leaf. Some people here in Atlanta, if he falls there, that might be ideally a pick for them. Some people are afraid of that because it may be like Concac all over again.
Not Concac.
Contract. Yeah, contract.
Him too.
But I like TJ Leaf, man, more than most people. I think that's a good fit for him out west. Chicago Bulls, they need some help up front with all the restrictions and unrestrictions in free agency coming up. I think they take Tony Bradley from North Carolina there. I don't think that's too premature. He's raw, but, I mean, you're getting nothing but raw players at this point.
Before you go to the front. Now, so, you would take Bradley. I know Your boy Giles has had injuries.
I'm not touching.
But you wouldn't touch
him. I don't even want to say his name.
You wouldn't give him. You don't think that he's going to come.
Me or one of these silly GMs?
Yeah.
Same.
You. Let's go you.
Me? I'm not coming close to that dude.
I mean, in
a case where you really just need something to get on the board, it's either going to be busted. If you're Golden State or Cleet, I'll see what I can do with that. But neither one of them have a slot on the board.
Like, do you like old school, though? You like old Justin Patton out of Texas? That's another big.
Justin Patton is out of Creighton. But I'm not a fan of Jared Allen. He had his opportunities to be like a LaMarcus Aldridge type. Mm-hmm. He had his opportunities to be a Tristan Thompson type. He disappointed me in a huge way as a top 10 recruit. Exactly. Yeah. And when Shaka got out there, you got to step up and do your part a little bit better than that. I think some of that is Shaka's system as well. That probably didn't help him out a lot. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. You should have been out there doing a little bit more when all you had to really worry about was Kansas in that conference, in my opinion.
I agree. Pacers.
Or
no,
Bucks.
Justin Jackson. I'm sorry.
Bucks. That's where I like Justin. I like Justin Jackson over there. If they're sold on having the Greek Freak, Antetokounmpo running the point guard, and they sold on that and they good with that, then let's go Justin Jackson, add some more length. That's going to be a really big team, especially if things don't work out with Greg Monroe.
They're low.
Yeah,
they're low.
They're long. With Jabari coming back? With Jabari working out, if things don't go well for them and they're not successful going into the coming out of regular season, going to the postseason, mark my words, their biggest problem for why they won't get over the hump will be Jason Kidd.
Say it.
It will be Jason Kidd. Indiana, at this point, with what they got going on, with that a dumpster fire, I think this is where you take OG Anunoby out of Indiana, which kind of reminds me a little bit of a Victor Oladipo type of guy. Well, what do we have? The Atlanta Hawks?
Yeah, we on hometown.
Hometown. What we got?
I feel like Jordan Bell. Realistically, I really do. If
calm
not,
down, Hancock.
If,
calm down.
If not, Jordan Bell, you push Dwight Howard out. You need some defense. You need a rebounder. You need somebody that's gonna run the floor. You need somebody that's gonna give you the things that
a young Dwight.
You needed in a young Dwight. That's where Bam Adebayo comes in at. Yep. At 20, the Blazers. Where did we go with that from the beginning? From the first one, I went TJ Leaf. You probably go get a two guard in that situation. Maybe a backup point guard.
Tyler Dorsey?
No, I think that's a little bit too high for him. Okay. Backup point, maybe, Jackson?
This is where you take a chance if he's on the board, since we still got him on the board now.
Luke Kennard?
Nah, no. I would say the kid from overseas. Nicolina.
Frank Nicolina.
You take the 6'5 point guard kid out. You're taking a draft, but like you said, you're drafting on potential at this point anyway.
Right. So far down the line at number 20, which I don't think that would be a bad, idea at all. My only problem with you just don't know what you're getting. You really don't know what you're getting. And so I personally am a guy, I like to know what I'm getting. I like to see these guys against this kind of competition, because not only is this a whole different ball game than college basketball, but this level is a whole different ball game than that being overseas too, where they still kind of slow it down. It's more about the space than it is the pace of the game. That's where you there's a big difference. Speed of the game is a huge difference.
Yeah, did you call Markkanen?
Yeah.
Markkanen, yes. Coming right behind Dirk Nowitzki, baby.
At Dallas.
Yeah, right behind Dirk at number 9.
Yeah, number 9. Mm-hmm. All right, baby, there you have it, DeSean Tate.
Not enough time, man.
Tate gave his top 20 mock draft, and we'll see tomorrow. I'm sure you're going to be checking them off.
Oh, my goodness.
To see where
you're
at.
Dude, let me tell you something. That's Christmas Day. There's 2 days out of the year. I don't answer no phones. Mama come knocking on the door talking about, the chicken nuggets and the fries is ready. And I just go and just go. I don't need nobody interrupting me. That is Selection Sunday, and that is the night of the NBA draft.
There you go.
Hey, man, shout out to Deshaun Tate for coming through, dropping that knowledge, and doing this thing as always. Shout out to all the loyal listeners that listen to the show. Shout out to the Facebook Live onlookers and people all across the nation. Shout out to the folks that's listening in on the radio. We really appreciate that, man. And appreciate the crew. Shout out to the crew, man. Excellent job again, as always. And it's been great, man. Deshaun, you got it. Shout out.
Shout out to you guys, man. SRT for having me on. And shout out, of course, I got to shout out my mama, man. Mama making all this stuff possible. and just everybody, whoever that is out there that's been praying for me, man. I don't know who you are. But thank you so much. Thank you so much for that. So I think that's all I got for now. Everybody that's been a huge supporter, man, of the Tate's Take movement.
There you go. What it do, though?
Shout out SIT fam, man. I sure miss being in here last week.
There you go.
Shout out all the radio listeners, Facebook Live people, and happy belated Father's Day. Didn't get to say that last week. To all the guys that doing what they supposed to do with their kids.
There you go. Happy Father's Day.
Shout out to you guys, the SRT crew. Told you I love Wednesdays. Thank you, Deshaun, for coming by. Shout out to my mom and dad for listening every week. And if you guys want to, I have a music podcast that I sometimes advertise on here. you can go to bythetimeyouhearthis.com. We're coming up on our 1 year anniversary, and we're going to celebrate by talking about Atlanta's own organized noise.
All right, do we?
Hey, man, first and foremost, shout out to the wife, man. What up, Hero? We going to the gym tonight. Follow me on social media, please. I'm begging y'all. Like, just go hit the follow button at underscore Real Talk Tees. And not only follow my Real Talk Tees page jumping, man. I don't know how I got this, but I'm at like, I got like 2,000 followers. I don't know where they came from, but I got them. But don't just go follow me. Buy a t-shirt and also follow me at I Am Coach K9. That's I Am Coach K as in King and the number 9.
There you go, man. There you have it. SRT. Once again.
Shout out one more time to my nephew. Happy birthday, Jagreedy.
Jagreedy.
Happy birthday, Greedy. Once again, thanks for everybody tuning in, man. It's been great. We love Wednesday. Happy SRT Wednesday. Hope you have a great Thursday. Go ahead.
One more shout out to my cousin Greg. I'm headed up there tonight, buddy. Coming to Flint for your wedding. I'll be there.
There you go. All right. Well, with that being said, Hancock, let's roll.
Boogie! I'm headed home, baby.
R.I.P. Uncle Mike, man. My first one without him, man. Mama, I love you.
They call me Coach because I teach you how to ball.
This is my man, H.O. from Bankhead. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
And if you didn't,
get out of here like the way
out. R.I.P. Mom, R.I.P. B.C.
We out. Peace.